Blog Talk Radio.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs. I made some bad rhymes. I've acted all my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I've treated you more kindly, darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Baby, can't you see through me? 'Cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of a true love withholding nothing. You came out in front, and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in the highest. I love you in a place where there's no space and time. I love you for my life, you're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I'm singing this song to you. I love you in a place where there's no space or time. I love you for my life, you're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together, and we were alone, and I was singing this song to you. And I was singing a song to you.
Everyone, and welcome back to Young, Gifted, and Black. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation, greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, family. Thank you. And welcome back to the first broadcast of Young, Gifted, and Black in 2014. And I am so thankful to Allah and to all of you who helped make 2013 such a magnificent year. And, of course, we're looking forward to doing bigger and better things this year in 2014. So without further ado, allow me to present my dear little sister that I had the pleasure and the blessing of meeting in 2013, and she is just a wonderful, wonderful spirit, so determined to just be a soldier in this army of Muhammad, and she is a wonderful, wonderful example of how secure our future is in the years to come. So without further ado, Sister Yatira X. McDaniel. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. All praise due to Allah. Thank you so much for that intro, Sister Queen. Again, I can't thank you enough for, you know, selecting my mentor to get me where I'm at. So thank you. First and foremost, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farouk Muhammad. And I further bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his exalted Christ, and the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, warning amongst us today. And again, I'd like to greet everyone on the call, our audience, with the greeting words of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
All right, I'm excited for today's show. I mean, last week we almost couldn't get off of it. But I'm ready to jump right in. Sister Queen, we just want to go over, have our new panelists. You know, we have Student Minister Andre on. Ms. Andre on? Hello?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for answering. No problem. I was a little bit worried. Okay. If you just
want to. Did you want?
Yes, sir. Just read. Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, ma'am. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farouk Muhammad, that great Mahdi, the self-guided one, who showed us favor to, he showed his favor to the black man and woman in America and raised up one from amongst us who he turned into himself and who we now recognize as the exalted Christ, who is in power. And for the one who is in our midst today, the extension of these two, who is continuing to expose the enemy and make a mockery of them and at the same time raise us to a level that is respected among the nations of the earth, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is on his post at 80 years old. I greet you with universal greetings of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam, sir.
I just am thankful to Allah to be still here and present and allowed to see another day in this new year of 2014 and to, inshallah, be a source of inspiration for being allowed to be a panelist on this show, The Young, Gifted, and the Black, you know, just to have the opportunity to have anything to say. I am a student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the ministry class, and I am honored by having just the opportunity to have anything to say and have a portion of this show to utilize what has been given to me to inspire someone who's listening and to also clear up some thoughts or misunderstanding that may be harboring within your mind concerning courtship and marriage or for any subject matter that is being propositioned by the show today. So, again, I thank you, Sister Yatira, Sister Queen, and the other panelists. I'm not too acquainted with who else is on the show with us tonight, but thank you for allowing me to be a panelist. And with that, I'll shut up and let somebody else speak.
Thank you again, Brother Andre. Again, I can't thank you enough for, you know, reaching out and and willing to offer your services to the people. So thank you for having that, for being the soldier and having that willing spirit. I really, 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 truly appreciate it. So thank you again, Brother Andre.
Yes, ma'am.
And we have Brother Reginald is on as well.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, welcome.
Walaikum salam, sister. First and foremost, in the name of Almighty God, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, whose proper name is Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Fardar Al-Ahmed, that great Mahdi, whom all praises is eternally due. I, Father, thank Allah for searching and finding one among the lost found members here in the wilderness of North America, in which the scriptures refer to him as the first begotten of them that slept. That great eternal leader, preacher of freedom, justice, and equality is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ. Lastly, but nowhere near the least, I want to also thank Almighty God Allah for permitting the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to place in his vacant seat during his absence a man who is a true and consistent champion on delivering the truth that his spiritual father left him to convey with even more clarity and certainty. That brilliant and wise, faithful student is none other than the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it is in their names that I greet everyone in the listening audience and on the panel in the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum,
salam, sir.
And next, I would like to thank our beloved sister, Yatura X, for blessing me with an invite on on one of the most needed shows for us, especially our youth, entitled Young, Gifted, and Black. And I also want to thank our beloved sister Queen Muhammad for being the synthesis and allowing me to be a little servant for our people and be a part of this nation-building movement. Thank you, thank you, and thank you.
And thank you, Brother Reginald.
Thank you. And thanks, Mom, sir. And Sister Queen, if you will introduce the other two panelists.
Oh, of course. That's my little brother, Eric X. Sullivan, and she's my little sister, but she happens to be his question mate, Sister Deanna X. Robinson. So you two come front and center, brother. Well, we're going to yield to sisters. Queens, go first. Sister Deanna, please introduce yourself, sister.
Well, good evening, everybody. I am Deanna X. Robinson. But first and foremost, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came as the person of Master Farad, I do bear witness that there is no God but Allah. I also bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I can never thank Allah enough for intervening in our affairs and rising up from our midst, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I further bear witness. Who? Excuse me. Little nervous, but I bear witness that he also rose up from among us, our divine warner and messenger, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in those words, I greet you guys in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
Wa alaikum salam, man.
Yes, and I am a little more adjusted to doing this type of thing.
Yes, he is. And Sister, let me just say this. Sister Deanna was very shy and very reluctant, but I thank her because she came on anyway. I asked her to come out in the name of sisterhood, and I really appreciate it, Sister Deanna. So thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you, sis.
Oh, you are very welcome. I thank you for the opportunity and just everything, and I'm excited to learn.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Oh, I love the sisterhood.
All praises.
Come on, Brother Eric.
Okay. Yes. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the honorable, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, is his messenger. I can never thank Allah enough for intervening into our affairs and for raising up from amongst our midst a divine messenger, a great man in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and for leaving among us a divine reminder, an example for me and all the men of this earth, a warner, a hero to many, a life-altering influence, presence. I don't think I would be here today without our minister, our leader, and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Student, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you all in the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
I'd like to thank you all for allowing me to be on the show and to voice my opinion on these matters. Me and my queen are still babies in the Nation of Islam. We are still learning and striving to adhere to the principles of Islam and the principles that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought forth to us to follow. And I'm very proud to be the little brother of Sister Gidget, Queen Aziza Muhammad.
Yes,
that's my big sister, you know, and I'm happy to be here. So let's move forward and get this ready, because get this started, because I'm ready.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Okay, Sophia Tara, take it away.
Okay, well, we're just going to go right into the questions then. And before we start, our listening audience, again, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, just press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll cue you in, and we'll be able to open up your mic. And it's also the chat room that Sister Queen has open.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Courtship, social media, and the importance of communication. Well, let's start with we started last week, and the questions was pouring in from my audience, but I got some questions from, you know, different people in the city here, and I'll start off with you, Student Minister Andre, one question I have about courtship was, should courtship apply to all religions?
Thank you for the beautiful question there, Sister Yatira. My response for that is simply yes. It's not a thing that we should take lightly in courtship, simply because you have the union of the male and the female. And this is not just a physical union. This is a union based upon coming before the Lord of the world and making a covenant. This is really what the marriage in Islam enables or entails. The meaning of it, the Arabic term for marriage, meaning nikah or consummate or covenant. This is not something that can be taken lightly, simply because you are involving the union of a man and a woman for a lifelong journey to grow and understand each other, to impart issues from one another based upon love and affection. This is a responsibility on the part of both individuals, simply because the woman has the responsibility of raising and bringing up the child. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that no nation can rise higher than this woman. when he started to teach Islam in the western part of the United, the western part in the West, he didn't begin teaching us a deep study of the Holy Quran or a deep study of the Arabic. He started teaching the importance of the respect and the value of the woman. This is the reason why he said that 75% of his teaching was related to the woman. So when you're dealing with a issue like courtship, it cannot be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. And every religion should, from my standpoint, now this is just my opinion, and based upon pretty much common sense, this is not something that we can take lightly. And all religions should have a form of courtship based upon the responsibility that is attached to getting involved with a man, a woman, and a man getting involved with each other for a life-term journey. It should be based upon ideals, ethics, and morals, because once again, I want to emphasize the importance of being responsible. This is a society that does not lay or value importance based upon the family life, because of the wickedness and the evil that we see that take place, or we observe that take place in a society, based upon the fact that the man and the woman a lot of times are viewed as sex symbols. And when I say viewed as sex symbols, you know, they look at the point of who's the most sexy. Now, sexiness can't buy you food to put on your table. It cannot pay your bills. It cannot help to pay off student loans or things of that nature, nor can it qualify for a mortgage. You know, so when we look at these things as far as what the society places upon the man and the woman as being sexy or fine or cute, this is not the way that we should view the union of a man and a woman. It doesn't have anything in the grand schemes of things, the grand scheme of things, let me say to make sure I pronounce that correctly, visually appealing, yes, but you know, this is not something that we take for granted. Sexiness does not mean anything. And I don't know, I don't want to get off the point too much, but that was just something that I threw in there because you see this a lot in the society. Courtship is based upon how sexy the woman is or how fine the man is. That does not have any appeal on anything being responsible. It's just visually acceptable to, because this is what is frequented on the television, on the radio, in the fashion. Everything that you see around is based upon how sexy a person may look. And that does not have any value, nor does it have any relevance when we start to compare that to a courtship. Right. Courtship is based upon being ethical and morally. So, yes, I think every religion should have a form of courtship based upon those principles of being ethical and morally responsible and correct. Thank you, dear sister, for that question.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that answer. Powerful. We added some more things. All praise due to Allah. Brother Reginald, would you like to add anything to that question as far as do you believe that courtship should apply or be applied in all religions?
Yes, the brother did a magnificent and beautiful job. And in the scripture, it says in John 14 and 15, Jesus promises his Holy Spirit for the ones who obey his commandments. And one of the commandments is for us to be diligent in our relationships with one another, especially as it pertains to marriage. We should all try to refrain from the worldly practices of courting or quote unquote dating, but that doesn't pertain to us. We were speaking about courting. We should all be mindful of of one another's missions, desires, and goals, and not be selfish into and inquiring each other to do something before the proper time. Because if we wait, it's like you're being patient. And Allah loves a patient person or a patient couple. So I think all religions should adapt the courtship of a relationship, because you really need to know in depth both person, male and female. It once was a time that we had to go to the father before we even thought about marrying a young lady or dating for that matter. I mean, even courting for that matter. So that's kind of changed now. But for us who believe in the exalted Christ and his principles, we know the benefits of waiting and having a chaperone amongst us, because one thing we have now is it affects our psyche so bad that we have all of this sinful things and attraction going on through media. May it be entertainment, may it be movies, may it be music. That tends to get into your psyche, and it makes you want to be a part of the world, you know, and thinking that you don't have the same type of lifestyle makes you feel left out. But the benefits outweigh the negatives way more than anything that we could ever desire. So, yes, sister, I do believe that all religions should practice the concept that God laid for us pertaining to courting, because it only can yield great results.
Yes, sir. Beautiful, beautiful answer, Brother Reginald. Thank you for that. And something you said really stuck out. Yes, sir, all praise is due to Allah, about patience. And he said, you know, Allah loves patience. And that's something that man has to strive for, because we're not, you know, we're not made with patience. We have to work for that. And it's just something about when you work for something or when you strive hard for something, and then when you finally get it, you appreciate it that much more. And, you know, in the world, everything seems, is just fast-paced, you know, this now, I want this now, I want this now. And there's no, when you get it, there's no value to it. When the next thing comes out, you know, it's on to the next, because, you know, there's no, I didn't work hard for it, or I didn't have to go through a lot to get it or anything of that nature. So I think that was just so key, and that was a really beautiful point that you just made about patience. So thank you so much for that. Again, I'll praise you to Allah. Yes, sir. From our couple, does either one of you like to add on to the question if you believe that courtship should apply to all religions?
I just have a resounding yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Just yes. Absolutely yes. The value of but women are not valued in other religions like they are in the Nation of Islam. So courtship in other religions, of course, I feel it's necessary, but I don't concern myself with it, because I've learned something different. You know, I learned that it is very important.
Praise be to Allah.
I would say yes, that it should be a part of every religion. I don't expect it to be. The reason why we were sent, our messenger, why all of this is necessary in the first place, is because we were led astray by a people who don't honor God. And unfortunately, in most of the religions that we are speaking of, those people are in charge of that religion, whether they bought it out, whether they joined, you know, and infiltrated the religion and gained position to alter things. Regardless of how it came about, those religions did not start out the way that they are now. Orthodox Islam for example, you know, began with us. But the Aryan Nation of Orthodox Islam caused great change. Anytime you allow the devil into your house, you can bet there's going to be some sin. Anytime you allow the devil in your house, it's going to be discord. Anytime you allow the devil to teach you, cannot expect what you learn to be of the righteous, to be of those who are upright, to be of those who submit and turn to Allah. So I believe that they should have courtship, whether in religion or outside religion. I believe that every man that pumps blood through their veins, that walks, talks, breathes, and eats, should respect his woman and protect the virtue and dignity of their women the way that we do in the Nation of Islam. I doubt if that will ever happen, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for that, Brother Eric. And I just wanted to point out what your queen said. Sister Diana?
Diana, ma'am.
Diana. Yes, ma'am. Sister Diana. Okay. I just wanted to echo what you said about, you know, the women. Oh, that was such a good point, because people really think that the women in the Nation of Islam are these suppressed, walking 10 feet behind man, women. I mean, it's, I know. And for, I just, oh, my goodness. When you said that the women are valued like no other woman in any other culture, how they are in the Nation of Islam is so beautiful. And in the courtship process, the woman is protected. You know, it's you know, I mean, there's value in it for the man, but the protection is around the woman. And oh, that was a really great point, Queen. I thank you for this. I'm saying, even though, you know, you're saying you're just gonna say a little bit and just a little yes, we all have something to add to it, and that was a really big add that you just added, Queen. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I just want to say it was really funny before we talked to the Queen this morning about coming on the show. I was actually studying a notebook that I had been writing when I first started learning the teachings. And something that I had wrote down, I mean, this is like 5 pages into my notebook, so it's very early. But the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad give the black woman her virtue back, you know, that he gives us our identity that was stolen from us. You know, they made us strong, but with no value. You know what I'm saying? So
right. He
gave us that back. You know, once we understand our value and our worth, we'll feel, you know, more whole, or at least with ourselves, until we get married, and then which we will really be whole.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Queen. I'm packing them punches tonight.
Right.
All praises to Allah, yeah.
All praises to Allah. All right. Yes.
Okay, Sister Yatira, if you don't mind,
yes,
I just want to remind the listening audience that if they have questions and you're calling by phone, press 1 on your dial pad. And for those of you in the chat room, you can type them in. But I am in possession of the official Nation of Islam courtship manual. So for those of you who have questions and you want to know what Mother Tynetta said or Minister Farrakhan said, just to get the actual facts, press 1 on your dial pad. I got the book right here.
I know that's right.
I know that's right. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Queen. Okay, next question. Let me see. With courtship and social media, to the Minister Andre,
yes, ma'am.
How do you feel, or what is your viewpoint on courtship being discussed on social media?
Thank you for that.
question there, dear Sister Eteria. This time I'm going to come from Scripture. And, you know, I kind of anticipated, not saying that I tuned into your thinking, but I kind of anticipated this question.
Yes, sir.
But whenever we start talking about social media and courtship or, you know, discussing those kinds of matters on in social media, in the Holy Quran, in the seventh chapter, and I think it's verse 7, I think it's verse 27, and it speaks about how the devil sees us from places we don't see him. And I think I have it right here, and it speaks in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O children of Adam, let not the devil seduce you as he expelled your parents from the garden, pulling off from them their clothing, that he might show them their shame. He surely sees you as well as his host, from whence you see them not. Surely we have made the devils to be the friends of those who disbelieve not. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Now, this verse speaks about, to a certain extent, putting your business in the street.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with courtship, we're going to marriage. This is something that is personal, that it should be only disclosed between the man and the woman. On Facebook or any of these social media sites, this is not an area for that kind of discussion, simply because of the enemy is able to observe what it is that you are saying on these social media chat sites or websites, and it is not an area for something so delicate or precious to be disclosing your interests, your likes, your dislikes from being posted on these sites. Whenever we take photos of, or things of that nature and post it on these sites, you are allowing the devil or the enemy into your homes. You are allowing them into your lifestyle. You are allowing them into places that you consider to be private. And when you are dealing with a courtship, that is only supposed to be dealt with in a private manner between a man and a woman and a chaperone and Allah himself. So when you allow these social sites into your business, then you're allowing the devil into your business. You're allowing the one that can cause enmity between the man and the woman. This can cause chaos later on down the road. Not saying that it would cause it at the very moment or instance of the initiation of the marriage, but it can cause problems later on between the man and the woman by allowing this kind of intrusion into their privacy. So with these social media sites, we have to be very careful, not only what we post, but even if we do, these particular social sites should be private, where only members can see, and then you still have to be careful. So I think with the social media site, not saying that they're bad, not saying that they're not useful, but I think you just have to be careful. Based upon, because certain things can come out that shouldn't, not saying that, you know, just you're going to put on your best face anyway. Most mm-hmm. people do when you're in a courtship. That's good. That's only natural. You're going to put on your best face. And a lot of times things do come out in the relationship. But these social sites are a place where you can put on a fake face, not knowing who it is that you're talking to. You have people that have Muhammad's behind their name are not really Muhammad's. I mean, you know, you just have anything that can come on these social sites because you don't know who it is that you're talking to. So you have to be careful dealing with these social sites particularly when you're talking about courtship and marriage, because this is not the place for that. You don't know exactly who it is that you're talking to, because the devil can come in many different disguises. And also, you know, we have to also remember, like the Queen has so eloquently said a couple of shows ago, that we have to realize, too, that Yaqub was a black man. So it's not just the enemy is just not the Caucasian. You know, you have some, you know, Yaqub was a black man, and he was the one who created the devil. So we have to realize, too, that some of our friends may not be who they say they are. And this includes believers. You know, and I just have to put it out there just like it is, because that's exactly what the minister is doing. I mean, hey, it is what it is. You have to be real nowadays. This ain't no time for games. This is not some time for things that we have to play with people's minds and feelings, because all of these things are involved when you start talking about courtship. You're involving somebody's feelings. You're involving somebody's precious time. You're involving somebody's mind. And that's not something that you play with, especially in these perilous times that we're living in nowadays. With the way the weather is going, we're expecting snow here. There's already snow on the ground. Not just saying that this is equivalent to what we're talking about, but I'm just using this as an example, because it's supposed to get 20 below zero between tonight and the next 2 days here, meaning that if we go outside, it's a possibility we could get frostbite. You know, think about hurting somebody or frostbiting somebody's mind or their feelings because you are not who you say you are. Make that equivalent to what I just said. If somebody gets frostbite, they're going to get cold, burned, skin-wise, mind-wise, all of these particular principles placed upon somebody's mind because you didn't say who you are not the person that you said that you were, or you hurt somebody's feelings, or you are a hypocrite, or you just playing with somebody's feelings, and that's not something that you do. So with these social medias, you just have to be careful. There's no way that you can make sure that you're talking to is the real person. Most times you just have to wait and see. And most times, and oftentimes, sometimes that comes out to be the person who they say they are. And then you also have to worry about, too, this most times or oftentimes these particular relationships don't last or they don't work out. Not just to say, you know, that they don't work, and I don't want to discourage anyone from using it or utilizing the social site for that if that's what you choose to do. But if you do, just make sure that you're careful. And don't give out any kind of information that could come back and haunt you later on down the road, when you could, you know, save that for a time that you are face to face with this individual. Giving out too much information is definitely a no-no, I think, until you're really sure that this person is who they say they are, and not somebody that, you know, you're going to be hurt down the road. But I don't want to take up too much time because I know there are questions, but that's my answer to that question, Bishop.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your minutes, Andre. Beautiful response.
Thank you very much. Thanks,
Andre. Queen, are there any calls or questions in queue or chat room?
Yes, ma'am. We have a call from area code 813. Last four numbers, 0457. Your mic is now live.
As-salamu alaykum, dear family.
Alaykum sir.
This is Brother Tracy X calling from the Tampa Bay area. I was just calling just to give my greeting to the family. And, you know, just to let y'all know that, you know, this conversation that you all are having is beautiful. And I just wanted to, you know, give my, you know, respects to you all, because, you know, I just want to get more involved, but I'm trying to, you know, work on that. So I just want to tell Sister Yatira X, thank you for all that she has done, you know, not only for, you know, myself, but just for me and Brother Ronnie X. And then we are grateful for her, you know, covering down for us. So, you know, I just thank everyone, and I just wanted to, you know, show my respect.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's brother Paper Captain Tracy. Selling them final calls like it's legal down there. Yes.
Praise be to Allah. Yes,
all
sir.
Praise be to Allah, brother. Soldier, way to go, soldier.
Be long. I just wanted to call in, you know, because I was at work, so I just jumped on the phone really quick. All right.
Oh, thank you, brother. Tracy.
Thank you.
Salam alaikum.
Okay.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Okay, we have another call from area code 469. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Frank.
Alaikum
salam,
sir.
Alaikum salam, sir.
And I have a question. When it comes to courtship, is it possible to be too honest too soon in the courtship? Like, could you, like, when the person is asking you questions, like, and I know you have to be honest with them, but is it like a timetable for, like, being that open and that honest with your courtmate?
Wow. Yes, it is.
Yeah, because first, if I might give a little. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
No. I yield to you, brother. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam.
What I feel is that, yes, first of all, you should establish that your courtmate is worthy of that information. Just because you find her attractive and, you know, she looks good from a distance does not mean that she will keep your confidence, that you can trust her. So I believe that the courtship should take steps. It should be a process. It shouldn't be on the first day we bear all, you know, I'm going to air all my dirty laundry. No, because at that point you're not sure of the character of the person that you're dealing with. You hope that she has good character, but everybody in the mosque isn't of good character. Unfortunately, we would like it to be that way, but in the mosque, out, we are all human. So you need to protect yourself from being overly exposed. So that would be my answer.
Yes, sir. Am I going to add on to that?
Yeah, he said.
Thank you for your question, dear brother.
He said the correct thing. Because when he ended it with emotions, you really want to be more emotionally attached to a person before you put all of your information out there to it, because that can come back to bite you, or it could help you, you know. But definitely, you don't want to put everything on the line, because of the simple fact is, it's still not proven who you are talking to. You know, it could be just the facade. Like the brother said, there are many Muhammads that are not worthy of praise and should not be praised much. So you have to be very careful with putting everything on the line. So I would advise, in fact, if in the first meeting, which I'm not really a big fan of courtship and social media, but I would be advised that if in your earlier conversations, this should be truly on your faith, your spirituality, the scriptures. I mean, just, you know, see if you're evenly yoked. That's a good measure, a good standard to see if the yoke is even. Because we're not talking about dating. That's a whole different thing. It's courting. So that means that you know, you all striving for the same things as far as your faith and your belief and your worship and your practices and your principles go. And in that way, you know, you build up on volunteering information to that one that you actually think that you could have a future with.
Right. Right.
And if you don't mind, let me reiterate this. I say it all the time. Marry, if you're going to get married, if that's the intention, marry your best friend. And that is the best way to start a relationship, is by being friends, examining somebody in their natural element. And as you develop that relationship, you know whether or not you can trust the person. If you have a friend and you tell them something and 10 minutes later it's all over the neighborhood, then you know not only is that not the mate for you, but, you know, that's not even a good friend. And that way you're not emotionally involved to the point to whereas your feelings are hurt. If you can't tell them a minute story, something that's not even major about you, and they can't hold hot water, then you know what you have. But I think we invest emotionally first, and we come up with all of these expectations. Well, I didn't expect her to say that. I didn't expect her to get angry with me and use that against me. But that's because we're emotionally involved, but we don't even know who we're emotionally involved with. So when you start to develop a friendship, your friend becomes your friend because there's a development of trust and respect that takes place. So if you don't have the trust and the respect from an individual, then why would you marry them?
That's right.
So I tell people all the time, become friends first, because at the end of it all, if it doesn't work out in a courtship, at least you still have a friend, you still have a brother. But take that time to observe. And just because you see someone that you're attracted to, that does not mean it's time for you to go ask that sister for courtship. Okay, you see that she's attractive. But if you put her in the spotlight and say, okay, I'm going to ask her for courtship, then that just turns on the lights and the cameras for her to act appropriately, instead of observing her as a friend in her natural element, so that you can really see who it is that you're attaching yourself to. And that's all I wanted to say. But thank you. And you do have some more questions, Sister Yatira. Just let me know if you want, when you're ready.
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am, thank you, Queen.
Thank you.
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay.
Area code 619, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, Sister Michelle.
Ma'am.
How are you? How is everyone?
Fine, Sister Michelle.
Fine,
how are you?
Fine.
Bless.
All right, then. So I'm taking it to the young people tonight, okay? I didn't hurt the older people. So I want to see the young people got to say about this. So my question is about long-distance courtship. I'm a little bit confused because I do know that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, I believe it's in the courtship manual, that was dated around about 19, the one before this last one that came out. You know, he said it would be better to court someone from your mosque. But I know that we have these long-distance courtships, you know, going on, too. And he had mentioned also in that same manual that dealing with long-distance courtships, that when you get to the stage where you become engaged, one must move to the other city so that you can, remember, you're engaged, you're not married yet, so you can, you know, watch the person in their surroundings. And I remember Brother Nuri said that long-distance courtships are more difficult but not impossible. But he said that the two have to be faced, no, there has to be a face-to-face interaction. He said when you meet people in the public, you're not meeting them, you're meeting their representative. So you have to see how the person interacts with other people. So I find that to be, you know, a difficult part of the long-distance courtship, because it's like, okay, you court, then you decide to get married. You might have visited each other a couple of times, but like I think it was the brother that said, well, you're putting your best foot forward. It's kind of hard to see how people interact with this person, how they naturally interact, you know? So I guess my question would be, you know, what about this long-distance courtship? You know, not saying that they can't last, but what is your take on it? And according to what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said about long-distance courtships and courting someone, you know, in your own mosque, even though sometimes that's not possible.
Hmm. Don't all speak at once,
okay.
Please.
Yeah, okay. You know, I was waiting for someone else to go because the sister
said she wanted
Michelle
to hear from
that,
the young people. So I should shut up.
Wanted to hear from the young people.
Okay,
so
okay,
I'm not
okay.
saying anything.
Well, let me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't. I thought it was just all young people on tonight. When I say young, I'm talking about 35, 18, you know, like that. I mean, no disrespect
okay, well, I'm
to still, someone
I'm still
older on that, because I'm older too, you know, but I just decided that, you know, sometimes these young people can come from a different perspective that us older people have not looked at because we're so stuck in our ways, that's all.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I'll go ahead and start on this one because my queen and I met long distance on social media. So we courted for 6 months before we ever got to even be in each other's presence. We didn't court on social media. We courted really over the phone. We met on social media. But as far as the long-distance relationship or long-distance courting, I believe it's possible. I believe that it's a good thing, especially since in a lot of areas, the mosque is filled more with one gender or the other. So a lot of times you're seeking a mate, but there's no one that's available to you. The single women here in Seattle, the men outnumber the women 4-1. So the single brothers find difficulty with finding a mate. So I believe that long-distance courting in this day and age is necessary and much more feasible because we do have social media. Because the world has shrunk through computers, through communication, information. So it makes it a lot more accessible to those who don't have the mate that they are looking for right there next to them. In our process, it was of utmost importance that we connected on a mental level because we didn't, and I find that a blessing. Our relationship, my queen is beautiful, you know, inside and out. And I feel blessed because, and I don't want to get too long-winded here, so excuse me, you know. But I got out of prison in December of 2012, okay? I met my queen in January of 2012. And honestly, right after getting out of prison, I hadn't gotten back into the Nation of Islam yet. I was a Muslim. They didn't have the Nation of Islam. I was in Wyoming State Penitentiary, which is not where you want to be. So, you know, you're in the belly of the beast. Ain't nothing but the enemy out there, so don't go out there. Trust me. But I was in Wyoming State Penitentiary, and they didn't have a Nation of Islam religious service. All they had was Orthodox Islam. So I chose to do what was closest to my faith and my belief. You understand? So when I got out, I hadn't really connected with that, and being incarcerated for that period of time left me lustful. So it was a blessing to have a long-distance courtship where I couldn't access that. I couldn't go over to her house. I couldn't just reach out and touch her. And it forced us to learn each other intellectually and have conversations about what we believe and what we understand and
You can't talk for 3 hours or 4 hours on the phone with somebody that you're not collecting, that you're not connecting with on a higher level of some kind, especially if you've never been face-to-face with this person. And if you happen to fall in love with that person before you've ever even seen them, then I believe that that love becomes stronger when they come into your presence if everything that was represented to you over the phone during that long-distance courtship was valid. You get close together, and the intellectual turns into the emotional. It turns into the spiritual. It turns into the physical, you know, and it becomes a beautiful thing. And I just thank Allah. I can't thank him enough for leading me back through her, because me meeting her is what gave me my zeal, my zest for my religion. I had come into the teachings before I went to prison, before I left Illinois, but I fell away. And when I had time to think, which is what prison does for a man, you have plenty of time to think. And so I thought. And when I thought, I reconnected with Islam. And when I did that and I met her and she started talking to me about it, it brought out my nation teaching, you know. So a lot of things can go very well in courtship, long distance, but I'm sure, I think I was blessed with finding a beautiful one, you know, because not everybody is going to go that way. But I don't see a problem in long-distance courting as long as it's done right, respectfully, and it follows the guidelines given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
May I add something?
Ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Crazy. Yeah, I agree with my brother, and I really think that it may be hard, but I believe that it builds character, and it you know, builds the will. It helps develop or strengthen qualities that, you know, we need or already have that we just need to work on. I think that you have to know yourself. I think that you have to be honest with yourself. And, you know, of course, the person, but you have to be able to know yourself to, can you handle this type of relationship, this process? Is this something that, you know, you can endure and go about the right way, you know, and just, and handling the courtship process in a proper manner? And, of course, when you're in the courtship process, that you have to be true to that other person as well. And, you know, I know we all put our best foot forward, but just personally speaking, when it comes to honesty and things of that nature, it's so much easier to just, you know, be truthful on whatever it is. You don't have to remember what you said. You don't have to, you know, I got to think like this or however. Right. It's just so much easier for you to just be honest about whatever it is, and you will want the person, you know, the person who could be potentially your husband or wife, to fall in love with who you are and not who you're trying to be, you know, because there's somebody for everybody, so why not be who you are? And if the person doesn't accept who you are, then clearly they're not for you. And
right.
It's possible. I think you have to have a strong mind and, you know, the determination to do that. You know, you have to be strong in the flesh as well, you know.
Right.
I just think you have to. It's so doable, and I don't. There's going to be it's hardships, but it's, you know, there's hardships right inside of your own city. So I don't really think that's too much of a difference whether you're courting someone inside your city or outside. But you know, it's all about your character and who you are. Being true to yourself, being true to your courtmate. Like I said, it builds the will. You have to be. You have to have that strong determination, and but you know, seek refuge in Allah, and you know, He will guide you. So,
That's my little two cents on the topic.
Yes, sir. I'd like to weigh in if you don't mind.
Please.
Being a product of a long distance relationship, I can bear witness to what the brother said as part of it does work. It can work, and it will work if the two parties are contingent with the long distance relationship to a certain point. But as the sister said, at a certain point in the relationship, one or the other has to move to respective city, to which upon they agree on, the man or the woman. And, often instances, it's the man that has to move, or most oftentimes he'll pay for the woman to move to his city. In my case, I moved to my wife's city because it was better for me. And that all depends upon the circumstances or the situation. So, yes, it does work, it can work, and it will work because it worked for me. Being, on a distance relationship, we communicated on the level of text messages back and forth for the first 30 days. We actually met on a social site, Facebook, through a private group called From Courtship to Marriage, from Single to Courtship, From Courtship to Marriage. We met on a social site that was inside of Facebook that was private. We met there, and we started to communicate through text messaging. We never talked on the phone for the first 30 days. I think I mentioned that before in part one. After 30 days, we started to talk on the telephone. Now, mind you, she did a thorough background check on me before we even started to talk on the phone. And not saying that should be done. But that was, she thought that was consistent with or necessary to find out if I was true about what I said or who I said I was. Because like I said again, once again, we have to be careful on the social sites because sometimes we meet people that they're not who they say they are. So I agreed to the background check. I gave her my name, my social security number, and everything that I told her was true. So once we figured that out, we passed that stage, then we began to communicate more on a more emotional level because everything that I said to her was true. She found that out for herself. And that's when it began to blossom. From that point, we became emotionally attached. Then we started to talk about other things, goals in life, what we both wanted. And then we seen that we had a lot of things that were in common. And, from that point on, that's when we decided to meet face to face. And after that, it was pretty much a wrap then. So these particular relationships can work and they will work. But at the same time, we also have to, as the brother said, now we don't want to be honest too soon, but there comes a time when you're going to have to put everything on the table. Or some things that you feel that are important for her to know, you're going to have to put that on the table at some point in time during that courtship. So I would say be prepared, to be honest, totally honest.
Right.
Because if you lie, it's going to come back.
Right.
You want to, we're in a religion of truth, so there's no such thing as hiding anything now. You have to put everything on the table. So that we keep that in mind. And the brother was saying that, he was incarcerated. These type of relationships can work because, everybody's not in a position to travel back and forth from somebody else's city to court a marriage. Now, the two parties agree and are contingent upon, the situation. Well, they might not be financially stable enough at that point in their time or that point in their life where they are able to travel back and forth. But if they're both amicable, what I mean by amicable, they both understand and agree that they want to continue with the relationship until it reaches a certain point then yes, you can continue. Because everybody's not in, in a stable position to travel back and forth or, you know, do what it is that's necessary for them to meet on a regular basis. But if they are contingent with that, then yes, they can move forward with that. And it's really not up to the local student coordinator or the student chaplain, because they're not the ones getting married. It is up to the two parties. If they're both settling on that matter, then yes, they can do that. It's not, you know, they can only suggest. They can't tell them what to do. They can only suggest, well, you know, it's not good. I don't think it's, you know, a good idea for you to mess, you know, try to deal with this brother because he's not, you know, he's not financially stable. He doesn't have a house. Okay, that may be true. But if the sister is satisfied with who it is that she's dealing with, and the same case with the brother, and if they want to move forward, then that's on them. That has nothing to do with the student, no student coordinator or the sister captain or the brother captain. They cannot stop them from
the inspiration having that courtship.
They should be an inspiration, basically. But some in some cases, you know, I've had instances where people tried to step in, but no, you can't do that. So, yes, I, you know, I encourage those that want to continue with a long-distance marriage, yes, you do that. If that's what you want to do, yes, you go right ahead. So that is my, that's what I wanted to weigh in, because I am a product of a long-distance marriage, me and my wife. And we were happy, you know, so, but like I said, she definitely did a full background check on me. And, you know, hey, it is what it is. So, yes, yes. That's, yeah, I think, I know they can work because I'm a product of that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'll praise this to Allah.
Can I add something right there?
Please do.
Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. And Ms. Queen. I just want to say that, yes, how is it appropriate for somebody to make a judgment because somebody isn't stable? Or they haven't hit their groove and fulfilled who they are yet. What they might be missing is what Allah has planned for them. If, okay, nothing happens but by the will of Allah. If those two are coming together and they feel they're feeling each other, you know, and they feel that they want to move forward, she might be exactly what he needs. She might be that ingredient that takes him to the next level. He might be that ingredient that takes her to the next level. He might inspire her to be a better woman, better wife, better person, period, you know, better Muslim, everything. When I met my queen, she was Christian, and this was just last year, okay? I was that missing ingredient that brought her to Islam.
Praise be to Allah.
So how can we make a judgment? You know, and I was very unstable. I had just got out of prison. I was staying with a white man sleeping in his back bedroom in Wyoming. Okay? I had a job as a dishwasher, and she still found it in me, and she found me worthy of her presence, to grace me with her womanhood, you know, everything that she's taught me, you know.
Right.
So I don't think it's right to make that judgment, because you have absolutely no clue what it is that you might be interfering with.
That's right. You know, and brother, I'm glad you.
Also, if you don't mind.
Oh, please, yes.
So in regards to long-distance relationships and social media working, conversations and such, the content of your conversation that you're having with your courtmate is important also. You can't just sit up and talk about, y'all, oh, I love you so much. I love you too. You know, you can't do that. You have to be learning and growing together. And
right.
Building, and you can't expect, okay, this is me, and I'm bringing me to the pot, that's you, you're bringing you to the pot, and we're going to do this. No. We're going to learn, we're going to grow, And like my king said, I was a Christian when I first met him. I was lost, deaf, dumb, and blind. And he opened my eyes to the teachings. It was, like he said, the missing ingredient in my life. It's everything that every Christian thinks something's missing. That's what it is. That's what it is. And that saving grace also helped build our relationship because there was something to be taught and something to be learned. So that's my two cents.
Thank you,
praise
Queen.
You
beautiful.
Allah.
Praise
you to
Allah.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Okay, we have some people been holding for a little while, so let's take one more call via telephone. Area code 612, your mic is now live.
Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Michelle hit exactly the question.
Hello.
Sister, are you there?
I think her call might have dropped.
Okay, maybe, yeah, her call got dropped. She'll probably call in. So, inshallah, we'll be able to get her question back in. Okay, and we have a question. Okay, let me stop. Okay. We have a question from Bonnie in the chat room. And the question is, are you allowed to date in courtship? And that's just two words in the nation. And particularly, we don't use together date and courtship. So, but wait a minute. But before we do that, let's get the previous caller back because she waited a long time. And I think she's back in queue now. So just hold on. Let's see if she's back. Okay. Yeah, we want to give her an opportunity. Okay, sister, your call dropped. Are you back with us?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I just wanted to hear I'm Sister Charlene from Minneapolis, and I just wanted to hear the response to the engagement and the movement to the new city. How was that handled?
How was it handled?
In the courtship manual, it speaks about it, but I just didn't understand it, that if you're engaged, how do you observe someone in their environment when that's not appropriate? Where would you live? How is that set up?
Well, okay. I'll let somebody else.
I think she's talking to you. I think she's talking to you about the manual. I may be wrong, but I think that's what she's referring to.
Well,
yes, sir.
Usually, if that is the case, if you are courting someone that is out of town, then those provisions have to be made. Usually if you have a relative that happens to live in that part of town, if the brother actually lives outside of his, say that's his hometown, if he actually lives outside of his parents' home, inshallah, you can receive accommodations from his parents, or if it's a feasible, the two of you can, you know, split an extended living program in a hotel or something like that. Or, you know, but most of the time, if it's in a city where there's a mosque, then you would take your travel letter and go to that mosque and let the laborers know that I'm in this city and, you know, I'm, you know, 3 months away from my wedding or 2 months away from my wedding or whatever it is, and let the officials know there. And usually they'll provide, you know, the chaperones and the shelter for you. It just depends on the situation. Excuse me. But I do know recently there was a couple who were prepping to become married, and she actually ended up staying with his parents in his hometown, since that's where they were going to reside. And she was there for like 45 days prior to the actual wedding date. And her in-laws to be at that time accommodated her. So it's basically based on what is feasible, and as long as it doesn't conflict with your religion, then that is those are the measures that you seek. You know, you don't want to live with him, you know. You don't want to say, well, okay, she can stay here and sleep on the couch, you know, that's not going to last that too long. So
right,
you
right.
have to do what, you know, what is whatever means is available available to you in that situation. But usually, you know, there's another mosque or study group in the city, and the believers will make accommodations for you.
Hmm. Yes, ma'am. Thank
if you don't mind, I'd like to weigh in on that myself,
yes.
because being, like I said, it was being a product of that long-distance relationship, dear sister. What happened was I moved from, well, at first what we did was we established a place for me to come to before I moved to the city. I established a place to stay with a brother here. And I stayed with him until we exchanged the marital vows. I moved here in December of 2011. And I stayed with the brother until January the 23rd, which was our anniversary. That is our marriage anniversary. And it's actually the same, my son's birthday. Same day. So I stayed there with him, going back and forth to the mosque. We would see each other on Sundays, and that was pretty much it. We talked on the telephone, but we did not, you know, have any contact as far as by ourselves. Any time that we went to have dinner one time and we had a chaperone. And then after we exchanged the marital vows, then she already had a home here, and we moved in, and now we have a house, praise be to Allah. We were living in a tower home at first. The home that we were living in was a tower home, and by Allah's grace that we've moved on to a house now. So it does work. And like you said, the arrangements were set up before I came to the city. And I lived with the brother for approximately a little over a month. And once we exchanged the marital vows, then we moved in together. She already had a house, and this was agreed upon before I left from where I came from. Thank you.
Praise
the
Lord.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, sister, did we answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. You did. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, we just had an influx of new calls, which I hope I hadn't keep y'all waiting too long. So those of you who wish to ask questions, please press 1 on your dial pad. We'll take your questions. I do have the courtship manual in front of me, so I'm giving you actual facts, no guessing. And those of you in the chat room, y'all are really off the chain tonight. Half of y'all I'm going to ignore. I know y'all know that, right? So, but we're going to answer Bonnie's question. Bonnie wants to know, do we date?
No.
I'm going to let somebody else deal. Y'all can deal with that.
No.
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 No. Everybody on the count of three. One, two,
no.
Three.
No.
No.
No, ma'am. We do not date in the Nation of Islam.
Right.
Go ahead, bro. And, you know, and let us be fair and explain, you know, what a date is. Because she could be just asking, are we allowed to go out? Now, we are allowed to go out with
okay.
a chaperone.
Must be chaperone.
Right.
Yeah, but not a date. Like, he can't come pick you up and, you know, bring you some flowers and take you to dinner
and then
you know what happens
after that.
And then
picking up the next sister, then, no.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Ditch her at a movie. So
right.
somebody please explain to Sister Bonnie. I don't know
okay.
if Bonnie is a sister, but somebody explain to her why we don't date.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Brother Reggie, I'm gonna let you go if you want to, but
brother, you go right ahead. As a matter of fact, I've turned into the listening audience because I'm learning so much right now, you know. Because you two are all hooked up, so I haven't got to that point yet, but I'm just listening and learning. So go ahead, brother. You take it over.
Yes, sir, brother.
Okay. Yes, sir. When you start talking about or you use the term date, well, it is exactly what it sounds like, a date. And like the sister said, basically is that you go and you have dinner. You even go to a movie afterwards. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's just one. But usually and oftentimes after that date or after the movie or after the dinner, then most times or oftentimes it goes or leads to a sexual venture. We don't do that in the Nation of Islam. And because of that, you don't have a person there to intervene to prevent that from happening. That's the role of a chaperone, a person, man, male or female, who's designated for that particular purpose to keep or prevent that from happening,
mm-hmm.
to prevent the actual act taking place of sexual involvement, kissing, touching. All of those things are forbidden or prevented during the chaperone or during the actual courtship. I want to say courtship because when you go on a date, there's no such thing as a chaperone. It's just a man and a woman. And we already know what's going to happen. It's going to lead to one thing. I'm going to quote, some of us have seen it's an older movie called Brown Sugar. And, you know, when they were finished the meeting between the two, they were walking on the city that particular night afterwards. And, you know, first thing the sister said, you know, was, you think you're going to get some booty, don't you? And he said, well, yeah. He said, oh, okay. He said, well, and then he explained to her, he said, when a man and a woman gets together, go on a date, go out to eat, something is going to happen eventually. And the same thing happens with the date. That's exactly what that was, because the two, when them by themselves, eventually something is going to happen. And in the Nation of Islam, we don't allow that simply because when you get involved physically or sexually with somebody, it emotionally attaches you to that person. And then you lose the creative thinking ability to be responsible within that relationship. So you lose that ability once you become emotionally attached through the sexual venture, and now you can't think rationally. You start to think according to your emotions or how you feel. So that's the difference between a date and courtship.
Yes, sir. I'm praise due to Allah. If I may add something really quick, adding on to what you said, the chaperones prevent, you know, physical encounters, but it also, you know, helps the flow of conversation where you may not be a woman that, you know, that won't allow anything to happen on the first day, second day, third day, but, you know, that the doors are open in the conversation where eventually it could lead to that. Certain things are talked about, y'all not sitting there talking about God and talking about, you know, things of character, you know, things could be said and you may laugh it off or take this or whatever, but if you're not, you probably wouldn't have that same kind of conversation if there was another couple present, you know, even if for whatever reason, you know, you're just going to handle yourself in a better way if there's another couple, you know, a chaperone couple with you. And it's a safety for the woman as well, you know, we are emotional, so that kind of stuff happens. That just, it makes it 10 times worse. So, you know, it's for our protection.
Yes,
and
thanks.
If I may quote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8, it reads,
yes, sir.
As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction, not reject the human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So in a nutshell, the purpose is to help control your actions, your speech, your manner, and the things that may even cause you to backslide from what you believe in, you mm-hmm. know. So we have to be mindful that God, Allah, is always watching, you know, and we want to please him at all times, and we want to follow the instructions, especially the instructions that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left for us. I mean, he didn't just leave us principles and laws and statutes just because he was trying to be a dictator. He left things that had deep, deep meaning, and if you just stick to the basics of it, from there you will grow and learn into exactly why. It's just as simple as why we cover up, why the women cover up. We have so many psychos big out in the world, you know, that they don't look at the sisters like us brothers in the Nation of Islam, you know. So we have to be mindful that we can be in the world, but we don't want to be of the world. We want to be totally different.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother.
All praises be to God.
Okay. Are y'all ready for the next question?
Yes, ma'am. Bring on.
Okay, well, everybody need to close their ears because I'm about to cut this brother out.
Oh, wow. Here we go. It's always that one at this point.
Now, Brother Ronald J. Says, "How do I know that the woman is worthy of me?
Uh-uh.
Every MGT that I've had has been no good. Now, hold on. Wait.
Okay.
He asks." I've done a self-evaluation examination. I know it's not me. Okay.
No.
Well, brothers, let me just say this. I'm going to let y'all go around, but let me just say this because I'm about to blow. Because, see, I've been looking at this for about 20 minutes. So let me explain to you, and I'm really going from a very serious perspective.
It's going to come unglued.
You know, just as our brothers have been hurt by various experiences in their lives. And Brother Ronald, I don't know you. I don't know what kind of hurt that you may have been through to even make you perceive that a woman is no good. I wouldn't use that language because, you know, I'm not going to go with the old saying. I know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that, you know, there's no such thing as a no good woman. A woman is made no good by a no good man. That's true. That's true.
Woo,
however,
right.
This could be stemming from experience that you had with women long before they became intimate. Your interaction with women could be very negative, but not from an intimate standpoint. It could be from birth. So mm-hmm. if you have an issue with women, maybe it's something that you need to examine not on a more intimate level, but just on a more, maybe a maternal level. Maybe it was something going on with your parents. Because if you're saying that you every relationship that you've had, especially with the MGT, the women have been
right.
no good, then it's really, really time to take another look. It's really time to look at what we are expecting. It's time for us to get audited, to get counseling, whatever
it takes. And I don't want to leave the brother out there like that, but for you to say that about an MGT, first of all, lets me know that there are some things that maybe that have not been addressed in your life. And so you need to do another evaluation, another examination, another self-analysis to really see, are you harboring resentment against women for something else?
Mm-hmm.
Because I love my sisters, and I'm down with my sisters like four flat. Now, we all got different tempers, different ways, different approaches, but to say we're no good.
Right.
Brother, that's a little bit over the top for me personally, but I'm going to be quiet, and I pray that you get some help and really evaluate yourself.
Right.
Okay, so let the brothers address it. Let the brothers address
it for me. I don't have anything to say.
Thank you. I'm biting my tongue so bad. Brother Andre, I'll wait.
Yes, sir.
Are you?
No, sir, brother. You go right ahead. It's jumping to get out. So you go ahead, brother. You go ahead.
That's my little brother. Y'all better watch him because the fuse might be about to blow.
One of the first responsibilities, if you're in the mosque, is for you to protect the virtue of the MGT. If you're meeting no good MGTs, then you're not doing your job. If you are courting with or dating, because really what it comes down to, okay, let's keep it real, you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
So your blessing in your relationship isn't coming. You've ruined it before it ever had a possibility to do what it's supposed to, because you are not adhering to the principles in which you say you believe. Okay? That's first. That's getting started. Second, what are your expectations, and what do you qualify as no good? You know, just because somebody has faults, what are you expecting? Because she's an MGT, she's going to be perfect? What, you think she fell out of the human race when she joined the MGT class? Ain't none of us perfect, brother. I'm quite sure you ain't no good. In somebody's eyes, you know what I mean? You get with the wrong MGT, the wrong woman. It might be the one that you feel was perfect for you. When you find that perfect woman, you know what? You will be imperfect in her eyes. You know, so don't mess up your blessings and your possibilities, first of all, by not following the laws in which you say you believe. If you're dating in the mosque and sleeping with MGTs in the mosque and sacrificing her virtue for your physical gain, then you're a no good FOI in the first place. Okay? So, you know, I can't stand to hear somebody say that about my MGT sisters. I don't know what his problem is or what he's typing. You know, you need to get a cramp in your fingers or something. But don't talk about our MGT that way, brother. You need to check yourself.
Praise you to Allah, dear brother.
I'm very passionate about this, and I spoke on this last week, but I'm going to try to be humble this week. I wrote a blog entitled The Divine Value of Woman in Furthering God's Kingdom. And I would just direct you to that blog, brother, so you can see that what you're saying is so out of line. And one way you can always remember that you'll never repeat that statement or put that in ink again is remember that your mom is still your mother. And you should view her just like you view the sisters, especially the MGT. Do you realize they are the most precious gift of women, the most virtuous women that we have in society? In a society is known by its woman, not by its man, but by its woman. So you may have not quite learned enough of the lessons But remember that you must not disrespect the woman, because a nation can and will not rise no higher than the woman. So I really hope Allah forgives you. I'm not a judge. But at this point, man, you're messing with a serious issue. And the power that women have over us, man, you better pray for protection from Allah. Run to him. That's all I got to say, brother.
Oh, praise
the Lord. Wow. I think I need to weigh in on this one just a little bit.
Yes,
you know, definitely what has been said so far is true and on point. But I think what we have to realize, too, is that this brother does not realize that the woman is the co-creator along with God. He has gotten that some point mixed up, or does not understand the value of the woman's position being that close to God. The first thing that he done when God created, his first creation was the woman.
That's right.
If you look at that, if you look at his first creation, he studied himself first and brought her into being. So
right.
What does that tell you about her position? What does that tell you about her value? Man, think about that. Think about what I just said. She is the co-creator along with God. Please understand her position before you come out of your mouth saying that she's no good. No good? What do you mean by no good? That doesn't even fall in the category. Where could you even come up with saying that she is no good? God thought it enough in himself to create her for you, for your future, because without her, you can't have a future. So how can you say that she's no good? First of all, you got some old baggage that you're carrying along in the first place. It got to be. Either you've been dealt, and still, you still don't understand. In the Bible, in the scripture, she is styled as a help meet. What does that mean? What is she helping you to meet? She's helping you to meet your potential. Without her, you don't exist. Somebody had to bring you into existence. So don't, please, make it a, you know, come on. No good? Man,
right.
Come on, brother.
And
come
that's
on,
why.
Brother.
And if not that, that's
why. We got to start understanding and paying attention to what we're saying.
Right.
When you start talking about somebody being no good, brother, then, man, that's God's first creation. That's
right.
His first creation.
Right.
Very
right.
First.
And,
you created
and we're not just
before.
Talking about woman. This isn't about woman, okay? Let's get this right. Let's get this straight. He didn't say women, all the women. He said MGT,
right.
Okay?
Right,
now,
right, right. I understand
that. All of these little lustful girls running around with tattoos, them, you know, it's a bunch of women out here, okay? But we're talking about women who are committed to Allah, who are committed to their mosque, and who are committed
right.
to following the word that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought to us, who are committed to waking
right.
up the lost, found, dead, dumb, and blind of this country. You just disrespected the Savior of our nation.
Right.
Okay.
And to add to it, that's why what Sister Queen said earlier, make sure they're your friend first, because if those women were your friend, you wouldn't be calling them no good right now.
Right.
That wouldn't even be coming out your mouth, because they would be your friend.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, we have some callers that want to weigh in on this.
Evaluate yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay, so Sister Michelle, you said you had, I was reading on Facebook, you said you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, ma'am, because I was thinking about this last night. You know, we say we believe, right? We say we believe that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. And if we truly believe that, then we would take better care of how we think about the woman, how we treat the woman, you know?
That's right. That's right.
You know,
right.
Otherwise you're really saying, I don't believe. You know, and yes, our teachings say that behind every no good woman, it's a no good man. Well, either you're going to believe that or you're not going to believe it. And if you don't believe it, then you can't, if you don't believe what the messenger said about, you know, a nation can rise no higher than this woman, behind every no good woman is a no good man who made her that, then you can't begin to bring your mind in line with what he is trying to teach you. You know?
Thank you.
I've heard it said, and I can understand my brothers, you know, it really being, you know, I'm using my train of thought, really being offended by what's given to the woman, you know? But remember, even everything, you know, like when you find a good woman, you know, if you find a wife, you didn't say if you find a husband. So if you find a wife, you find a good thing. But I was thinking about one. Oh, she's the prize. That's one right there. So I want to say, brothers, don't get offended because we the prize. Allah made it like that. Just get on board for the ride that the prize, you know, prize is going to give you. It's nothing to get upset about. You know, I'm the second self. Yeah, I'm not the second self. I'm a step below you. And I don't worry about that because that's the way Allah made me to be. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to get on board with it. And that's all I got to say. We got to start treating the woman right, because somewhere, as I look out into our own little nation, what I see going on is that if the woman is not where she's supposed to be or where that man thinks she's supposed to be, then she's no good. So I can mistreat her all I want to. You cannot mistreat a woman that you have determined, anybody else has determined, is no good, because she's still the woman of God if she wears the label of MGT, which means someone who's striving, not someone who has arrived. That's all I
got to
say.
That's right, Sister Michelle.
And you know what? Let me say this right quick. You know, let me just say this for the brother and for everyone. You know, as a woman, it's my prayer that if I am found as an MGT being in error in any kind of way, not just as your worship mate, but just as an MGT, if I'm found in error, then you as a man, you as an FOI, have the responsibility to maintain me. And that doesn't mean I have to be your significant other. Maintain me as your sister in faith. Maintain
That's
me
right,
as, in your spirit. That's your duty as a black man to every black woman, is to maintain.
Peace.
And if you have to restore to maintain a woman, then that's what the hell you do. But you don't labor her no good. That's not
right.
for you to do. You don't have the moral authority to judge anybody, let alone
mm-hmm.
a woman. Because we are the bootays, as they say. We are the booty. We are the ones that reproduce you into the future.
Right.
So a black man can
right.
build all the materialistic things that he wants, but if he has nowhere to plant his seed to carry on into the future, you haven't done anything. So if
mm-hmm.
you catch a woman who is off her square, whether she is in the mock or outside of the mock, if you are a real man, a true man, then your duty is to restore her to the best of your ability. And that's all I got to say about that, because he about to really run me hot. I'm sorry, but he's saying some stupid stuff in the chat room that we're not going to even address, but Brother Ronald or whoever you are, you might even not even be a brother. I don't know, but,
that
you know, you really need to get off of that.
We're going to move on.
We're going to move on.
He's a hypocrite. If he is, he's a hypocrite.
Anybody even gets the idea that they're going to talk about the MGT, I wouldn't let MGT come on here and talk about FOI. Come on, really?
Right.
We're not doing that.
You lost your entire Islamic mind. I posted that yesterday. You done lost your entire Islamic mind saying that about my sister.
Okay, let's move on. We have another question. Let's move on. Area code 210.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
Yes, man, this is Brother Carl Muhammad in San Antonio, Texas. I just want everybody to just take a deep breath and exhale.
I'm breathing. I don't hurt nobody.
So I like
man, you don't talk about
like putting on your boxing gloves, man.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, my beloved brothers. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Let me say this to y'all. In the conversation, I was listening, and it's very beautiful conversation, very much needed, because of so many marriages that are broken because we have families, you know, from slavery. But anyway, this is my point, what I want to get to. One of the key words that's missing, and I think is the most important word in a marriage or in a courtship, and that word simply is communication.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't communicate first with Allah, see, we don't communicate with Allah. We don't have a profound relationship with Him. So how are you going to expect your relationship with the queen that He produced? Huh? How do you think your relationship is going to be with her if you don't even talk to Allah?
Come on, brother Carl.
Come on now. Praise be to Allah.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Come on, brother Carl.
We go and we have sex before marriage. Now look at this. Look at the craziness in this. Okay. Now we have sex before marriage. Now we go before the minister, but we go before Allah to be transformed into oneness with Him, and then He's supposed to consummate this sin and this force and this lie, as though that we're pure and we're coming before God so He would bring us together. Hell no, Allah's not happy with us coming together. We did not go and communicate with Him. So the minister said it best at the Million Man March, right? He said that we had to atone, but before we can atone, when you talk to the gang members too, we got to go to Allah. We got to go to God. And that's the problem. We're not dealing with Allah. We're dealing with the sister, and we're communicating with her, whether it be visa or online and then through the phone. But Allah's not there, man. He's really not acclimated in the relationship. He should be. He's supposed to be the head. And because like the minister said, we don't have the God sitting on our throne, sitting on our mind, in our dome. And so
how can we
maneuver our queen and make her, what did I say the other day when we were talking about, I said that Africa is not the motherland. It is the black woman who is the motherland. It is her womb. She is the land. And if we don't have the right seed, the right God in our mind, then we can produce the right seed in her. Not seed with fur, but with wisdom. So our lack of communication with Allah and our lack of communication with her, we are not communicating right. Because if we were and Allah was applied to the relationship, we would not be in the condition that we're in our relationship. And that's all I wanted to say. So maybe we can continue on in talking about the communication and the value. And in the word communication, you can find community. Well, what community are we? We are the community of the nation of Islam, a nation of obedience to God. Well, we're not obedient. So how do you expect to get the quality of marriage and the quality of relationship if we're not communicating with each other properly or with Allah? That's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Brother Carl.
And
we had a request. I think it was Brother Reginald. I think you had read something out of Thessalonians, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Let me go back
to
it.
Did you not do that earlier? A few minutes
ago? Yes, I did. I did.
Okay.
Can you
give the scripture out again? Because someone wanted to know where in Thessalonians.
Yes, I will. Before this show is up, I get it back up online.
Yes, sir. Or you can inbox it to me when you find it, and I'll inbox it to them.
Okay. All right.
It is.
Okay.
That'll
be fine. Oh, don't hurt yourself.
Gotta
stop. I apologize. I'm getting so emotional, y'all. You know.
It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. And that's in the New International Version. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8.
Okay. All right. I'll let him know. Okay. Okay. Sophia Tara.
Yes, ma'am. This is a great show.
I was in your court, Queen.
I mean, I can't. It's too late to ask that. Well, really quick. So the engagement thing, when you are engaged and you're in two different cities, it's mandatory or it's highly recommended?
What you mean? I'm sorry. What was the question?
About
what mandatory or highly recommended?
About when you're engaged with, if you're when you get engaged, and if you're courting someone who in two different cities, it was mentioned earlier that you moved, that when you're engaged you move to the city. Was that a requirement or was that just recommended?
Oh.
Well, at some point you're gonna have to move before
the
marriage.
At that point. Oh.
Not necessarily at that point, but some point before the marriage. I would always suggest at least 60 days before the marriage that you try to plant yourself where you're going to be, and that gives you plenty of time to observe that person, you know, outside of the conversation or however you all have been communicating, and it gives you 60 days to change your mind if you should see fit.
Mm. Okay.
You know, because people tell you, I'm going to tell you, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, whatever social network you're on. You can be anybody you want to be on Facebook.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You can be the king of Arabia on Facebook.
Right.
Right.
So when you are interacting with someone, it is, and I keep saying it, but I'll say it again, it is so beneficial to become friends. In the true sense, because in these days and times, it is so dangerous. And we don't know unless we verify, and re-verify that this brother, this sister is in the nation, they're registered, or, you know, they're a good brother, you know, he you know, even if he's registered, okay, brother, you got, I'll be your fourth wife, you got 9 children, really?
Right.
It might be something that we need to look at, not to say that he's not a worthy brother, but it could be some things that he needs to work on. Okay, so when a brother tells you in one of the initial conversations, have you ever been married before? Yes. How many times? 4. How many children do you have? 9. Okay, when was your last divorce? 6 months ago. Stop. It doesn't mean you throw the brother away and say, oh, hell no, I don't want to talk to you no more. But become his friend. Become his friend. Let him work through the issues. He could be in need of auditing. There could be some things going on. But we so worried about how another person is going to benefit me, and instead of us trying to be a benefit to one another, we find a brother or sister and we label them dysfunctional based on our observation, and then we walk away. Well, that's not being a Muslim. We're Muslims first.
Right.
That's right.
So even if you find a brother who may have a serious issue, or you find a sister that may have a serious issue that would turn you off, instead of you walking away, well, why don't you say, well, sister, you know, let me try to get you some help to help you through this. You know, brother, well, have you ever thought about, maybe you need auditing because you keep having failed marriages and you have multiple children and blah, 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 blah. No, what we want to do is like, oh, that's a deal breaker. Okay, I'm going to walk away. But you forgot that you turned your back on your brother. You forgot that you turned your back on your sister because he or she was not beneficial to you. We Muslims first. First and foremost, we brothers and sisters first. And that's how we learn to love one another for who we are. I can look at my sisters and sister, I love you because I know you. I can look at my brother and say, I love you because I know you. Not because you look good to me, not because I like the way you hang that uniform, because I know your heart. That's how we're supposed to love each other. That's how Allah loves us.
That's right.
That's
right.
All right, I'm through. I'm like, I'm done.
That's beautiful. A reminder is a blessing, and we all need to hear that from some time because we get a little spooky or something.
Right.
Is there anything else that, or, I mean, I guess it's too late to take any more calls. This was a really good show, everyone. Thank you.
Well, Brother Frank is on to promote his album. I think he's still with us.
I think so, too.
So before we close out for the show, we want to bring in Brother Frank. Is that okay?
Please.
Yes.
All right, Brother Frank.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard you got a new album. You trying to rock this way. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
Yes, ma'am. Give me 1 second, please.
Quick thinking, fast moving, soldier.
Okay, yes, ma'am. My name is Brother Frank X from Dallas, Texas, but my stage name is SOA, or other known as Student of Art. And that just simply means I believe that the universe is God's artwork, and I'm a student of it. I produced the album, and it's 100% righteous. There's no cussing. There's no nigga. There's no profanity. There's no degrading of women. And I made the album in mind for believers because I know we all love hip-hop. We all love rap. And for me personally, sometimes when I hear a Lil Wayne song that I like, I get a little guilty feeling because I know what he's talking about is filth. And although I have knowledge of self, somebody else that doesn't believes that's the way to act. And I know that type of music holds our society. I've always been in love with music. I started rapping when I was 12. But I put it down because I wasn't feeling what I was rapping about. I had no passion about what I was rapping about. And so I did The Nation 2 years ago, and I realized I could combine the love of the teachings with the love of music. And so I worked on this album since last February, and I love it. I listen to it all the time. And it's a free download. You can donate if you like, and 50% of all donations go to help me raise my Savior's Day gift. But the website is studentofart.bandcamp.com, and you can download it from there. That's studentofart.bandcamp.com. And if you want to reach out to me, my Facebook page is facebook.com/itssoa, or you can find me by searching Frank X from Dallas, Texas.
All right. Thank you, Brother Frank.
I can relate. I'm an ex-rapper myself. And I feel guilty when I listen to Drake and Lil Wayne and T.I. and they talking about let me get that and all of that, you know what I mean? And I know I'm not supposed to, but your head is bopping because the beat is good. I can relate, brother. That's the reason why I quit was because I knew that what I was rapping about wasn't appropriate. So I definitely feel you. I will be looking you up also.
Crazy, cool.
Absolutely. We definitely want to support our own artists. You know, they have clean, conscious rap music, whatever kind of music. Not all of it is rap. We have some sisters and brothers who do what we call R&B. And so, you know, just for the fact that they are producing good, clean, conscious music is enough. For us to want to support them. So please, you know, look Brother Frank up, Frank X Hudson on Facebook, and, you know, support him and in his efforts to get his music out there. Okay.
Right.
And Sophia Tira, do you want to close us out with anything special before I give the line up?
No, again, I just want to thank everybody for being on the call. This was a very beautiful call. The spirit was so high from everyone, and I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody stepping out of their comfort zone.
Thank you, sister,
just
for having me.
So, yeah, all praise is due to Allah. You know, we build in the nation. We, you know, this is a movement. It's
That's
a
right.
team effort, sisterhood, brotherhood. We're coming together and doing the thing. 2014, you know, no excuses. We're just going forward, straight ahead, full speed. So, again, I just want to thank everyone.
Thank you, sister. Thank you for having me. And I hope to see you all on Savior's Day. Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, we got to meet. Okay, so are there any last words from Student Minister Andre before we go? Only thing that I'm going to say is thank you for having me on the show.
I'm looking forward to doing some more shows. Just let me know. I'm open. I don't have any dates next week, so let me know if you want me back on again. That's all I'm going to say. Just let me know if you want me back on again. Just let me know.
You know you're welcome. You know you're
yes.
welcome every time. Not any time. You're welcome every time.
Every time.
Dear brother.
That's right, sis.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Okay, and Brother Reginald, you want to bless us with some wisdom before you leave?
All I want to say is it's a sister that is hosting this show. Keep in mind, to anybody that wants to call in with any negativity, we don't need that type of energy. We're trying to, this is nation building, not nation destruction. Let's try to keep it as positive, especially when it comes to the woman, because I have two daughters, and if my two daughters come across in a guy like you, they will be me. I don't carry weapons, but I do play baseball. So if I come across a guy like you to disrespect one of my daughters, it would take the help of Allah to probably keep me off of you. And I'm not trying to be violent, but, brother, we got to respect our women, because you might one day have a daughter or some daughters. And so let's try to keep this a positive show, especially when our sisters are the ones responsible for this platform at all. And that's all I got to say. And I thank you, Sister Yatura, for having me, inviting me. I thank you, Sister Queen, once again, for letting me be a little servant for my people, because all I want to do is serve my people for the rest of my dying days, my breath, as long as I got breath in my body from here on out. I want to serve my people, and I want to try to bridge the gap from the people that have lost the knowledge of themselves, the knowledge of their religion, and most of all, the knowledge of Almighty God Allah. And thank you, and assalamu alaikum.
Okay, and where's my little brother, Eric, and his queen, Sister Deanna?
I'm right here. I have to say that I can appreciate the brother using his restraint and not wanting to be violent, but I don't agree. If you insult or hurt one of my MGT sisters, I will get violent. If you mess with one of my daughters and hurt them, I will get violent. That is what we do. This is not Christianity. I'm not turning the other cheek, okay? Brothers need to respect our sisters and understand that the FOI is here to break you off. I train physically for this, okay? And I am a protector of my woman. The world would not respect us until we become protectors of our women, and I plan to stand on that. But I digress. Sister Queen, I appreciate you inviting me, and my queen, to this show. It has been very, very enjoyable and enlightening. I learned a lot about courtship, and I hope to be back soon, queen. I hope to be seeing you soon, talking to you soon, and all of that. And for everybody, the brothers that I met, y'all are beautiful brothers. I loved all the answers. I loved the exchange. It was intellectually stimulating.
Likewise,
you know,
brother.
All praise due to Allah for the Nation of Islam, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and my mentor, because I wasn't in the first resurrection, my mentor, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our divine reminder. So I leave you as I greet you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you.
Well, that's Shalom.
Sleep Shalom.
Is Sister Deanna gone to bed? Is she left?
No, I'm here. I'm here, Sister Queen. I just want to thank you and the sister for having us on. Thank all the brothers and the student minister for his comments and the wisdom. And as far as the brothers, I don't have anything negative to say, but I do have some advice for the brothers. I want to get with your auditor. Stop trying to date. Work on you, FOI.
Yeah, that's
thank
right.
You.
Praise be
to God. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, that's right. All right, let me give the lineup before we go. Okay, join us tomorrow, 6:30 p.m., No Romance Without Finance, our economic development show with Brother Vernon at 6:30 p.m. Central. On Monday, join us at 8 p.m. Central with Brother Kareem as he talks about Our Savior Has Arrived. On Tuesday, Brother Jahad will be back with Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. And on Wednesday, Brother Jahad is on at 8 p.m. as well, Central Time. On Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and Friends, as our hip-hop comedy show starts at 7 p.m. Central. And on Thursday, I'll be back with the music that is Farrakhan. I don't know if I'm going to title it that, but know that we're going to be talking about the music of Minister Farrakhan, and we're going to have Brother Victor Muhammad out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on that's Thursday at 8 p.m. And then on Friday, Student Minister James will be back with our live study group, and, of course, she's going to cover the time of what must be done, the final lecture, part 52 of the minister's 52-week lecture series. So definitely tune in for that. It's going to be very, very interesting. And I don't know who his panelist is yet, but I'm betting on Brother Dimitri and probably Brother Ilya again, because they really expounded well on the minister's messages concerning the will. And, of course, next Saturday, we'll be right back here with Sister Yatiri. Sister Yatiri, you going to give us a sneak peek of the topic, or we got to wait until later on during the week?
Y'all going to have to wait until later on, but you can also make suggestions on Facebook page for my Yatiri. Is it McDaniel? Yes, Yatiri McDaniel on Facebook.
Yeah, and if you don't find her, we also have a page on Facebook called NBM, for Nation Building Movement, NBM Radio. You can post your comments as well as your suggestions there. So Okay. Thank you all for listening. Thank you. A Facebook group, NOI Singles, and I just want to give a shout-out to Sister Rhonda, Sister Michelle, Sister Rachel, Brother Rodney. I was chatting with them as we were moving along. So thank you all for your love and support and for listening.
Thank you.
And for those of you in the chat room and all of you who called in, and y'all were silent again tonight, but that's okay because next week I'm going to get y'all. I see y'all out there. So thank you all for the distinguished panelists. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you, in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Well, thanks a lot, man.
Alaikum salam, man.